Gentlemen, start your engines.
Tune up your motorsports knowledge. Power Up Motorsports Channel.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing son is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pit Pass USA. We made it back to our home base in the Detroit metropolitan area from Phoenix. Had a great time at Phoenix International Raceway over the weekend. Hopefully you tuned in for our four-hour broadcast extravaganza from Phoenix International Raceway on Saturday. We were broadcasting live from 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock Eastern. I did the first hour. Mike Knight, the race reporters, did the second. Then I had the final 2 hours. Had a lot of great guests on the program all day long. Jared Fogle, when he stopped by from Subway, he and I started talking. He's from Indianapolis. I used to work in Indianapolis. And suddenly we were yeah, I know him. Yeah, he's a friend of mine. It was great. It was kind of interesting there. I got a chance to talk to Roger Penske. In fact, I'm going to have that interview in the very last segment of the program, for where I sit down with Roger on Saturday up in his motor coach. Got to talk to a lot of great people. Had a great time out there. And again, I want to thank all the folks at Phoenix International Raceway and all the folks back at the Power Up Channel and Voice America that helped me out over the weekend. So I made it back, and we have got a brand new show. And this past weekend, not only was NASCAR racing, but so was the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series. They were down in Houston. In fact, we're going to talk to the Funny Car winner, Matt Hagan, on the show. The ARCA Series running down in my old neck of the woods where I grew up. They were at Salem Speedway in Salem, Indiana. We'll talk to the winner there, Steve Arpin. And the IndyCars. We're at Barber Motorsports Park for the first time. We're not going to talk to the winner, but we are going to talk to a young man who's off to a great start in the season.
This past weekend, the IZOD IndyCar Series ran their third event of the year. They were at Barber Motorsports Park down in Alabama. And my guest coming up, well, he's had a great start to the season driving for Dreyer and Reinbold. Robbie Buell, of course, one of the owners of that team. He has finished 11th in the season opener, came close to the win at St. Petersburg, a second and a seventh last weekend. Right now, standing right fourth in the points, Justin Wilson. Justin, welcome and congrats on a great start to the year.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
You know, it has been. You've come over to Dreyer and Reinbold. You've got Mike Conway as your teammate, and both of you have had a pretty outstanding start to the season. Can you put your finger on it, the success so early?
I think there's a lot of potential with Dreyer and Reinbold and myself and Mike. I think we both push hard. So, yeah, we're just working away at it, and to be honest, we see it as, we felt like we could have done better. So there's opportunities being missed, but we just keep pushing hard and try and give ourselves those chances every weekend. And obviously, Mike started on the front row in Barber, and I started a little bit further back, but we had a good race, both of us. Unfortunately, the strategy didn't work out, so we both end up running together, fighting for seventh and eighth. But, that was still a good result.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely great results. And, you know, Dreyer Reinbold's been one of those kind of second-tier teams the last few years in the IZOD IndyCar Series. But with the performance that both of you have been putting on here at the start of the season, you're contending up there right with the Scott Dixons and the Dario Franchitti's and the Elio Castroneves, and well, you got to put Will Power in there considering the start of the season he's had for Roger Penske. But you guys are right there wheel to wheel with those guys.
Yeah, and that's our aim. And when I joined this team, one of the things that attracted me was the fact that they were so determined, and they felt this is the year that they were going to show everyone what they're capable of. So that was obviously pretty attractive to me, and also Z-Line Designs, that's what interested them. And we both were still coin racing last year, had a good year, but this opportunity came up, and I got the call, and the chance to drive the Z-Line Designs car again was quite attractive. So it's great to drive for them, and it's proven again this year we're quick, and I think we can win a race, and just keep pushing every weekend, and that's what it's all about. There's so many missed opportunities in racing. So you have to be consistently good, and then every now and again it'll come your way, rather than, you know, the usual stories of if only, and, you know, oh, we missed out there, or we're unlucky. But you can't be unlucky forever.
Speaking to Justin Wilson, who drives in the Izod IndyCar Series for Dryan Reinbold, right now fourth in the points. And Justin, you were talking about getting a win. Well, you have done that each of the last two seasons in the IndyCar Series. I was actually at the first one you had on Belle Isle because I was the public address announcer. I got a chance to interview you once you got out of the car up on the stage at the podium, and it was a big day for you. And then, of course, you were with Dale Coyne, who got his first ever win as an owner at Watkins Glen. So, I mean, it's not a breakthrough for you to get a win, but it kind of is mixing it in with being up and battling for the points championship.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good to be up there in fourth. It's early in the season right now, but, you know, it's good to be there. So the key is trying to capitalize on these road circuits. And like I said, I think we're capable of getting a win. And then just on the ovals, keep improving. I know the Dryan Reinbold car's pretty quick, so I'm looking forward to Kansas and also Indy. I think that's going to be a big one, and just want to have a good result there. So, and that will just keep that momentum going throughout the rest of the season then.
Justin, has it been tough, though, going from team to team to team in the IndyCar Series and starting each year adjusting to new people?
Yes, it is, and that's what makes life hard. You want to try and build some continuity, and each year you think, oh, maybe this is it, but it doesn't quite work out. So, you know, getting those wins each season is quite a relief, and you feel like you've justified what's happened. But, you know, you go back and think, well, if only you could have some continuity, you could pick up where you left off and carry on. But, you know, you don't always have that in life. You don't always have the perfect scenario. So I'm happy where I am now, and hopefully it'll be more than 1 year. But just got to keep working hard every day and try and make the most of it.
Why have you been able to come together with this team so quickly?
I think just they're a good bunch of people, and it makes life easier to fit in and get on with it. So I can't say which one particular element makes that difference, but it's just the whole philosophy. I think Larry Curry puts together a good team. He's now, I think this is his first year with Dryan Reinbold actually running the team. And, you know, fitting in with my engineer, Matt, and it's just trying to get through that gelling process as quickly as you can, and so you can build and, you know, get the car to your liking. Your communication gets better so you can move faster in qualifying, and that's all little parts of it that build up that big picture.
How much of it has also helped to get off to the good start that these are road and street circuits where, yes, you do have to have the setup, but the race driver can really do things differently. Whether you brake later, you go into the corner differently, you change your line a lot. We're on an oval. You you've got to have the handling package completely, or you're going to go nowhere.
Yeah, I mean that is a big part of this early season, and also this year the fact that they've grouped the road circuits and the ovals together. So we do four and then four ovals and then back to road courses for I think three or four races. So that helps. You get some momentum, some understanding of the car. And like you said, you can make a difference on these types of tracks. You can, you know, how you finesse the brake pedal, how you press the gas pedal makes a difference, as opposed to on some of the ovals where you're just flat out and your plane can't keep up. So, you know, I'm sure that we'll be in a much stronger position this year, and I think we'll be able to keep up. And who knows, you know, maybe we can sneak on the podium on a few of those ovals.
We're talking with Justin Wilson here on Pit Pass USA, drives for Dryan Reinbold in the Izod IndyCar Series, fourth in the points right now. And Justin, you're also 6'3.5". Now, most of the IndyCar drivers are kind of on the short side. How do they squeeze you into these IndyCars? It's got to be kind of an interesting situation.
Yeah, they squeeze me in very tightly, I think is the right way. My knees are touching the top of the chassis. My elbows are rubbing against the side. Fortunately, we can just get enough room, get the pedals just far enough forwards, and it's a squeeze, but I've got used to it over the years. It's not like it, you know, I suddenly shot up 6 inches yesterday, so, you know, it's just what I'm used to and what I deal with, and you know, as long as I can turn the steering wheel and press the pedals, I'm pretty happy and I can get on with the job.
Yeah, it really is a tight fit in there, and they can't change the pedals too far down because you run into the front bulkheads that are mandated by all the safety regulations, and the cockpit has to be a certain size, so they've just got to squeeze in and say, there it is, do what you can.
Yeah, it takes a little fiddling around with those pedals to get them just far enough away, and I can feel, you know, an eighth of an inch difference in the pedals set up from car to car because, I mean, literally, I don't have that room left to spare. So, you know, it's a tight squeeze. The seat's all, as you know, custom formed around each driver. So I make that as thin as possible, but still keeping that minimum thickness for safety. And, you know, just after that, it's, like I said, it's a case of getting on with it. And, you know, the biggest thing is when you turn up at the workshop the first time is convincing the mechanics that are going to do all these alterations on your car that after they do it, I will fit in.
Yeah, how tough is it, though, for you using those pedals on your race car, especially here on these street and road circuits? You've been on three of them. You're getting ready to go to Long Beach, which, yeah, it does have the long straightaway out by the water. But, boy, the rest of it's pretty tight, and you've got to be on the brakes and changing gears and all sorts of things.
Yeah, fortunately, there's just enough room inside these lowers to get the job done. It's pretty close, and you know, over the last couple of years switching teams, I've paid attention to how, you know, that each team has made the individual pedals, and so I've been able to describe to, you know, Drian Reinbold what it is I'm looking for and what I know works. So that speeds up the process a little bit, but you know, it's at the end of the day, you know, once you get comfortable, you just get on with the job. And I'm just pretty happy to drive for Drian Reinbold.
What do you look for this weekend out at Long Beach? What are the great venues on the IndyCar circuit?
I'm actually looking for pole position and a win. And, you know, I'm aiming high because I think we can do it. You know, the car feels good. I think we made some big improvements each weekend so far, the three races we've had. So, you know, I'm looking for it all to come together here. And, you know, I'd be happy if we made it in the top five. I think that'd be a good result. But obviously, I want that win. And this would be the best place to get it because Long Beach is a historic track and, you know, just a great venue. So nothing would be better than to win at Long Beach.
How important is going to be the race at Kansas Speedway following Long Beach, which is your first oval and kind of a tune-up for Indianapolis, although a mile-and-a-half Kansas Speedway is not the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
No, but it's a good gauge, and I think that's why so many people are doing it this year. I've heard a rumor of maybe 29 cars, so that's going to be fun. And, you know, you want to go there and see, okay, how fast is the car? How aerodynamic have we got it? And, you know, if you run in the top 10 there, you're in pretty good shape. So, you know, that's going to be like the litmus test of where we stand. Obviously, Indy is different, but, you know, that just gives you a good idea. So, and it gets you into the swing of things. You switch gear, start thinking about ovals and leave behind the road circuits that you've been focused on so much for the year so far.
Well, Justin, I wish you the best of luck this week at Long Beach and all year long. And hopefully we'll get together down at Indianapolis in the month of May.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. So thanks very much for having me on, and we'll see you soon.
That is Justin Wilson, who drives for Dreyer and Reinbold. Had a great start to the season. Right now, fourth in points, and looking to Long Beach this weekend. Speaking of a great start to the season, how about a great weekend for Matt Hagan? He was the Funny Car winner at Houston. We will talk to him next as Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry continues here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. Power Up, your motorsports channel. See it, read it, feel it.
What's it like behind closed garage doors, where the decisions are made that change motorsports? You'll find out on The Race Reporters, because host Michael Knight has been there. He's a 40-year industry insider and award-winning writer and publicist. Each week, Knight brings together the country's top journalists and newsmakers, and their insights will make you a better race fan. The Race Reporters, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Want to join our pit crew? Are you a motorsports expert? Jump into the driver's seat and get your voice heard. To learn more about our broadcasting opportunities, contact us at 480-294-6417. That's 480-294-6417. Or email us at info@voiceamericanetwork.com. That's info@voiceamericanetwork.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
Next up on Pit Pass USA, we're going to turn our attention to the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series. This past weekend, they were down in Houston, and when all the dust settled, my next guest was the winner in Funny Car, and that is Matt Hagan, who drives for Don Schumacher Racing, and in the Die Hard Dodge, he wound up with the winner, and he's second in points overall. Matt, welcome and congrats.
Appreciate you having me on the radio show here.
Yeah, great weekend for you down in Houston. You were the number five qualifier going in, had to get around a couple of rounds early on, but always great to walk away with the Wally.
It is. You know, we struggled a little bit during qualifying. It's one of those things where had a cylinder out first lap, and then it knocked the parachute out of it early in the second lap and came back and got in the show number five on the third lap. And you know, the fourth qualifier, we really went for it and it didn't stick. So we were kind of iffy going into the first round, not knowing what to do. But Tommy DeLago and that, John Medlin, they just they put their heads together and really got it together and put a good race car under me for the weekend.
It was kind of an interesting weekend at Houston because we were seeing some fantastic numbers all through qualifying and even in the first round of eliminations and somewhat in the second, but from then on, it was interesting. Everybody's under 300 and, a little slower times at all. What was going on?
Well, I tell you, as a driver, it really made you earn your paycheck that weekend. It ended up being in the semis, we had to pedal the car to the win, and then also in the finals. So, it's one of those things where it's just such a team effort, and I got to do part of my part this weekend and, turn that wind light on. But the guys did such a great job on this diehard car, putting it together every round and going up there. Really made me proud of those guys to be part of the team. And it's one of those things where you wake up some mornings and it just feels like your day, and it just really came together for us.
Matt, when you talk about pedaling the car, I guess that's one of the things in drag racing you've got to do, and you've got to also not give up. But how do you hang on there in like a 5-second run, saying, okay, I've got problems here, but I got to keep going because I don't know where this guy is beside of me, and you wind up the winner.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you feel it, the tires come loose and you lose traction. You pull your foot off the throttle, and you roll back into it a lot of times. Sometimes you're able to stab it pretty quick and get back hooked up and going again. But, you know, it's a lot of it's a finesse thing. You got to let the car calm down a little bit and, you know, get everything squared up to the racetrack and keep that momentum forward so you can turn that wind light on. But it's pretty hairy out there. You know, it's one of those things where the sun came out and the racetrack kind of went away. And, you know, everybody was having some problems getting down that track. So we just happened to have the least amount of problems for the day.
May, your answer there took longer than it takes you to go down the drag strip. Is a lot of what you have to do when you're, say, pedaling the race car just automatic? You don't have time to think, or does it seem like it's slow motion for you?
A lot of it slows down, but you drive these cars by the seat of your pants. You know, it's a feel thing, and that's why it's invaluable to have seat time. And, you know, a guy like Ron Capps and Tony Schumacher and all those guys that's had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of laps, you know, that's why they're so good. It's one of those things where, as a new driver, for me, I'm still learning a lot of this. And, you know, in 4 seconds at over 300 miles an hour, when you're making decisions on that race car, it's a lot of it's just a reaction. And you go with your gut and you hope it's the right decision.
Time with Matt Hagan here on Pit Pass USA, the winner in Funny Car this past weekend down in Houston. And Matt, you mentioned the name John Medlin, of course, long time associated with John Force Racing, coming over with you right now. How much of a difference has that made to have a veteran like him on board?
You know, to have Mr. Medlin on board is huge. It's one of those things where he brings so much experience and so much knowledge to this race team. And he's doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes with the R&D program back at the shop. I know Don's got several machines going. So it's one of those deals where it really, really is going to be beneficial for our whole organization to have him on board. But he's a great guy. You know, and anytime I get a chance to sit down and talk to him, I try to pick his brain as much as possible.
Well, he has been around drag racing for a long time, and of course he was intimately involved with the Eric Medlin project over at John Force Racing, which was actually building safer cars and really getting into the ins and outs and the finer points of chassis development, which has to transfer somewhat to what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're going to still see that continue over here at the DSR camp. It's, you know, John, he's a very bright individual, and he's going to continue his work, and he's very focused and driven. So I'm looking to see a lot of good things out of Mr. Medlin before the year's up.
Is it sometimes better to have a couple of guys to bounce things off of than maybe one? I know you're relatively new in this series. I think last year was your first full season in the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series. But since you have basically two crew chiefs, is that good to have where they can go back and forth and rely on each other's knowledge to give you a better result?
Absolutely. That's why DSR has so many teams, and you know, it would be able to share information and make those calls, because just because you think it's one way, it could be another, and it's always good to have somebody's opinion in there. And I think Tommy DeLago and Mr. Medlin are working really well together, and I'm really really excited about it, because you know, those decisions on those race cars are big. You know, you get one shot at it. There's 100 ways to lose and one way to win. And when you have somebody like John Medlin in your corner there, it really helps out a lot.
Well, you mentioned Don Schumacher Racing, and it is a big operation and great race shops. Basically, they're right there next to John Force Racing. Everybody is in Brownsburg, Indiana, with all the race shops together. But, you know, being driving with Don Schumacher, what's that like?
It's huge. You know, I mean, there's nowhere else to go. Yeah, that's the top of the pack right there. And to be associated with DSR is big for my career. It's an honor to be able to drive with guys and against guys like Capps and Schumacher and hopefully, you know, people will recognize me like those as my, you know, career continues and I get a little better at what I do. But you know, it's great that Don has put me in the seat there and taking a chance on a young kid like myself. And it's just been really cool to be really, you know, one of his drivers in his camp.
Well, when we look at things right now, I mean, John Force has had an absolutely fantastic start to the season with a couple of wins, and he's been top qualifier at a couple of a few races this year. But there you are, just 70 points back going to Las Vegas.
Yeah, it was big for us that first round when everybody went out and we you know, end up winning the race. So we really got to stack up on some points. We were fourth coming into this this race, and now we're heading into Vegas this weekend second in points. We're about a race behind John, but you know, points don't really matter right now. It's they change so fast, and right now we got to focus on round wins and getting past that first round and you know, hopefully winning another one of these. But I'll look more at points as we get closer to the countdown to 10. You know, it's really that's when it kind of all matters. But it's easy to get caught up in that stuff. So, you know, hopefully some of these drivers, it'll get in their head and put some pressure on them. And, you know, that's what we're hoping for.
We're talking with Matt Hagan here, who drives the diehard Dodge for Don Schumacher Racing in the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series in Funny Car, winner last weekend down in Houston. And Las Vegas, that's where you're headed off this weekend. Another one of Bruton Smith's crown jewels in NHRA. You were just at the 4-Wide Nationals a couple of weeks ago down in Charlotte. Now you head off to Vegas in the Strip. What's that place? I mean, it could be 110 degrees out there. It could be 80 degrees. It could be 60 degrees. You never know, but it's a great drag strip for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Bruton always builds such a great track. You know, the 4-Wide at Charlotte and Vegas and Bristol. I mean, it's always a pleasure to race on those Bruton Smith tracks. So, you know, we know that it's going to be great out there. It's just all weather dependent. So hopefully the sun's not shining too hot, but it's out and it's a nice day and the fans can come out and hopefully celebrate another victory with us.
How important is it to have another great weekend? I guess to stay close and get the points. And as you said, don't be looking at the points now, because it's a while till you get down to that countdown to one when everything gets reset anyway. But you got to be there and be in that top 10, because we saw Robert Icke just make it last year and he wound up the champion. So as long as you're in the top 10 when you get past Indianapolis, you're okay. But you still want to be number one.
Oh, absolutely. You know, last year it was me, Robert Height, and Cruz Petragon trying to battle for that number 10 spot to get in there to run for a championship. And, you know, we just didn't make it happen for ourselves. And this year I really feel like our race car is a little bit better. We've all had a year to massage on our tune-up. And you know, for me as a driver, I've had a lot more experience in the car now, and hopefully that won't be an issue. But with these fuel funny cars, you never know what you're going to get. It's a new lap every time you get in it. So we definitely want to be number one, but number two is pretty good right now.
Matt, we're seeing fantastic numbers already in the funny car, and especially also in the top fuel. Are we going to see a sub 4 second run here shortly in funny car?
Absolutely. I think you're going to see some 390 stuff pretty soon. Right now, it's starting to get hotter in the summertime. Right now, it's rolling right here ahead of us. But I think as we come into the fall of the year, look out, because it's going to happen. I know that we're very, very close. We've run some 03s and 04s. And, you know, I know John Force, he just ran 02 this weekend. It's going to happen. You know, these guys that are tuning these race cars are too smart to sit back and just kind of be happy with it. They're always rubbing on it. They're always trying to make some more horsepower. And with Schumacher's research and development program that he's got going on back at the shop, and as many crew chiefs as we have to talk to each other and pick each other's brain, it's definitely going to happen. And all I got to say is, I'm really glad I'm going to be able to hang on to the wheel when it does.
I just can't imagine going that fast and that quickly. Cause it's almost like just blinking the eye. I mean, under 4 seconds to cover the distance, I don't even know how you think.
Yeah, that's why I kind of joke around with everybody. It's you know, it's so important to get lined up straight, because everybody shuts their eyes. You know, it's one of those things where it just it happens so quick, and that's why it's great to have seat time, so it can become a reaction to you.
I remember someone told me one time in IndyCar racing that just the normal blinking of the eye, how much a race driver didn't see of the racetrack on a lap, say, at Indianapolis, where they're running, I don't know, 218, 220 during the race. I can only imagine what it's like going down the drag strip. do you blink at all when you go down?
I'm not real sure. I definitely hope not. It's one of those things where if you do, you're missing quite a bit of the racetrack. But it's you know, it's just so fast, and I it just happens right now. It's adrenaline rush. That's why I love it. You know, you get in that car and you get strapped in there, and you know, you're in cloud nine every time you get in that thing. So for me, it's calming myself down and trying to get some consistency with my heart rate and making sure that I'm not too amped up and do the same thing every time, because that's what wins races is consistency, so that the guys can go back and do the same thing four laps in a row. So, you know, it's definitely fast, and hopefully it'll get faster and faster as the year goes on.
Matt, congratulations again on the win at Houston, and best of luck this weekend in Las Vegas.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show.
That's Matt Hagan, Die Hard Dodge for Don Schumacher Racing, the Funny Car winner last weekend at Houston. Again, they're at the Strip in Las Vegas this weekend. Next up, we'll talk to a first-time winner in ARCA. He won down at Salem Speedway over the weekend. Steve Arpin coming up next here in Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. From IndyCar Racing to Power Boats, to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.
Aviation has a rich history and an even richer future. Air Power Radio is designed to promote, educate, and preserve. Segments of the program will focus on women in aviation, legends of aviation, a feature for builders and restorers, and extreme aviation, which will spotlight the so-called daredevils of the industry. Air Power Radio is hosted by Jeremy Nellis and Richard G. Smokey Young, two people who have been involved in building and flying for over a decade. Tune in Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on Power Up, your motorsports channel.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
It's all about action.
Touchdown!
Scores.
Taking a look at the NBA tonight.
Highlights.
He's broken loose. He's at the 30.
And headlines.
Big trade in the NFL this afternoon.
When you are looking to talk sports, look no further than the Voice America Sports Network. We bring you some of the biggest names and all the sports news you can handle, whether it's basketball,
off the glass,
football,
come on, football,
golf, racing, or the Olympics. We've got you covered. We'll even cover tailgating. To the Voice America Sports Network. It's all things sports.
Everything motorsports. See it. Breathe it. Feel it. PowerUpChannel.com.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's Larry Henry at PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
Well, on Sunday, the ARCA Series, presented by RE/MAX of Menards, was racing down in my old neck of the woods where I grew up in southern Indiana at Salem Speedway. It is a little half-mile racetrack, and when the dust settled, there's a lot of dust there, even though it is pavement, Steve Arpin earned his first career ARCA Racing Series victory, and he joins me now. And, Steve, congratulations.
I appreciate it, my friend. I tell you what, of all the places to get your first victory in the ARCA Series, I don't think there's a better place than Salem Speedway. That place is just incredible.
It's a little half mile, just a little over a half mile racetrack. It eats up race cars, it eats up drivers, and you actually had a pretty dominant car on the day.
I tell you what, right from the get-go when we unloaded the car Saturday afternoon, the thing just drove like a dream. We tuned on it all the way through practice, made it a little bit better, but right off the truck we're really good and qualified on the outside pole and led the most laps in the race. We couldn't have asked for much more.
It was interesting. I looked at the guy on the left of you that was on the pole, was only 16 years of age. What's that like?
I feel like such an old man now racing these things.
Well, you're only, what, 20, 27, something like that?
I'm 26 already, and God, I was thinking about that before the race. I said, God, when I was 10 years old, he wasn't even born yet. That's unbelievable. I'm getting up there.
Yeah, but you had the car. You led, as I said, most of the laps on the day, and then finally took the lead with, what, about 50, 60 laps to go?
I think so, yeah. We started out the run. We made a couple changes late in practice and really liked the direction it was going. We actually slowed the car down, but we knew it was going to be the right direction if we had some time to make a couple more adjustments on it. And we ran out of time in practice, so we kind of sat down as a group and decided to stick with it and make some adjustments before qualifying, and went the right direction there. And then we ran the first run of the race there, and we were really good in the short runs at the start, but just went way tight the longer the run went. So we came in, we took two tires right off the bat and made a couple adjustments just to make sure we were going the right direction again. And the car was a lot better, but just still way too tight, especially in the two tires. And then Billy Venturini and Rambo up on the box, they when we came in for a four-tire stop, they took a bigger swing at it. And I tell you what, they hit it right on the money, because that thing was just driving like a Cadillac for the last 60, 70 laps of the race.
Well, that's what's also interesting. Not only did you get your first ARCA Series win in that number 55 Tag Heuer Chevrolet from Venturini Motorsports, but the guy that owns the car, Bill Venturini, his first ARCA race win as a driver was at Salem Speedway, and now he gets a win as an owner at Salem Speedway.
It's kind of funny you say that, because we were just talking about that about 10, 15 minutes ago, Billy and I. And that's only something you can do once. You only get your first win once, and it just kind of it makes it a lot more of a meaningful win, a little bit of kind of tosses some emotions in there and stuff for us. With Billy, he was dominant on the short tracks in his driving career. And we were off a little bit there last year when we went, but I tell you what, he's got such a good handle on these race cars, all of our cars, the 15, the 25, and myself in the 55. We just had such good race cars going back there, and to have someone on the pit box that's been there and sat in the driver's seat and won races there, kind of coaching you through the race, it's a pretty cool combination we got going.
Time with Steve Armbrun, who was the winner of the ARCA Racing Series Kentucky and a Ford Dealers 200 presented by ApplianceZone.com down at Salem, Indiana Speedway. It's a half-mile racetrack. It's about 30 minutes from Louisville, Kentucky, on the north side of the Ohio River, the right side of the Ohio River, the Indiana side. I'm a native Hoosier, and I live in that area, so I can say those kind of things. But what does all this mean, not only the first win, but to also be tied for the points lead?
I tell you what, we're sitting a whole lot better than we were last year, three races into the year. Last year, we were back like probably 24th or 25th, something like that. We struggled the first couple of races. But it's good. We're definitely points racing. We haven't even announced it yet, so I guess this will be the first time we announce it, that we just got the whole deal done. We're going to do the entire season with Venturini's and go for the championship. It means a lot, you know. It's first off, just getting your first win off your shoulders, getting it under your belt, it just means a lot. It gives you that confidence and all right, now we know we can win races. Now let's just keep on going. We're only three races in when we look at points racing, and we got 17 to go. And I don't care what you say, there's a lot of competition in the ARCA Series here, and there's a lot of good drivers out there. And these wins don't come easy, so we gotta keep our head on straight and make sure we keep our effort at 110% and keep on digging.
How much did it also help that you've got other teammates? I remember Daytona at the beginning of the year, and I was down there for some 20 days, which is way too long. But
it was cold down there this year, too.
Yes,
it
was, cold and damp. But I believe Bill brought, I think, five cars to Daytona, great speeds out of all of them. And then I just saw the Talladega test recently where there were the Venturini cars again up there. But you've got a lot of teammates, too. Does that help you when you're racing?
I tell you what, it's absolutely great. Just for instance, we were at Texas testing a couple weeks ago, and I was sicker than a dog with the flu. We only got a chance to go out there and make 20 laps, but Mikey Cowell and the 55, it's true teammates here. Like, we share all of our information, everything they get I get, and everything I get they get, and we just work as a team so well. And we're in Salem this past weekend, and Mikey Kyle just had, I don't know what kind of luck he had, but he's definitely not going to a casino after this weekend. He cut a tire down right at the start of practice. They had to get a backup car out, so everything that we learned in practice for my car, we stuck into his car, and he went out and qualified top five still, so it was pretty cool.
Well, you mentioned the Texas test and that you were sick. That's where you're going, Texas Motor Speedway up next, a 1.5-mile racetrack, which is a very tricky racetrack for those that have never been there. I know watching on TV it may not look that, but it is one ornery character.
It's going to be the most fun of the year, I think. We, like I said, we had awesome cars there test. I think Mikey and I were first and third on the board when the test was all said and done. I think the mile and a half are a strongest suit too. You know, I think that's my strongest suit as a driver for sure, and it's definitely one of Venturini's strongest suits. So I think we're going to be able to go there and definitely sit on the front row, if not in the top three or four for sure, and be a strong contender for the race at the end.
Steve, a lot of people don't think about Canadians being in stock car racing. You're from across the river. I live in the Detroit area, so you're on the other side over in Ontario. But there's an awful lot. CASCAR, of course, have been around for a long, long time. NASCAR is now involved with that. I think it's the Canadian Tire Series, if I remember right, now with stock car racing. But there's a lot of Canadians that are getting involved in stock car racing, and more are coming to this side the line to get into either ARCA and then eventually, hopefully, I would assume, move up to NASCAR.
Yeah, motorsports is definitely growing in Canada, and it's a great place up there. I absolutely loved it up there. I was from over in northwestern Ontario, so we didn't have any asphalt racing up there. We just, the local dirt track I grew up at was Emo Speedway, and we ran there in our dirt modifieds my whole life. But I've actually never got a chance to make it over in the Toronto area and stuff like that to watch any CASCAR races. But it's definitely growing, and the Canadians, we know how to drive race cars too. We may be from north of the border, but we still know how to drive race cars. And we're trying to build our presence down here the best we can, and hopefully move on up to the NASCAR series, like you say.
I'm assuming that's your long range plans. You just mentioned that you know, you're going to be running the series the remainder. I remember Parker Kligerman last year was kind of in that. I think he had a 7 or 8 race deal that Roger Penske was going to back, and he started doing so well. They said, "Well, we got to back the kid because he's up here in the points." You're kind of in the same situation. Look, we can't throw this away. We're leading the points. We could win the championship this year. But is that your long term goal? I mean, how do you see this get through this year and then see what happens?
We've got a lot of things, a lot of irons in the fire right now. I'm the most fortunate kid in the world for the opportunity I got here with Venturini's. We got such a great group of people standing behind me that just believe in me as a person and in my talents and driving a race car that are helping fund this program and give us the opportunity to develop ourselves and learn asphalt racing and these stock cars before we move up to the nationwide or the truck level. And we got a lot of things on the works. We actually had a couple meetings this morning already, and we're hoping to jump into 2 or 3 nationwide races yet this year.
Well, I know before we started this conversation, you were telling me I might have to leave at any moment because I'm expecting, hopefully, maybe, crossing my fingers, a call from someone that might put their name on your race car this coming weekend at Texas.
I tell you what, we're really excited about it. It's something we've been working on for over a year now. It's a great company, and I just can't wait till I can have the name on my chest and on the race car and represent them. It's going to be an exciting long-term partnership, and hopefully we'll move on up through the ranks with them.
Well, congratulations on what looks like something happening along those fronts, because if you don't have it, you don't wind up in a race car too often these days. And also getting that first win at ARCA. And good luck all season in the series. I know we'll probably see you in May down at Toledo for sure if I don't make it to an ARCA race before then.
I tell you what, my friend, I appreciate it. And we're gonna keep on digging, and hopefully we'll get our second win under our belt as soon as this weekend in Texas. And if not, if it's not me, I'm sure my teammate Mikey Cal will have a really good shot at it too.
That is Steve Arpin, who drives for Bill Venturini Motorsports. Got his first career ARCA win this past weekend down at Salem Speedway, which is down in southern Indiana. It's about, I want to say 30 miles away from Louisville, Kentucky, kind of to the northwest of it. That's kind of the area where I grew up in Indiana. Do want to say, though, one of our hosts here on the Power Motorsports channel, Allie Owens, she also drives for Venturini Motorsports. She finished 9th in that race. Well, I was at Phoenix International Raceway over the weekend. Hopefully you tuned in to our special 4-hour live broadcast on Saturday from PIR. And one of the guests I had on during that program was Roger Penske. I got a chance to sit down with the captain and the motor coach, and I'm going to replay that next, just in case you missed it. We continue here on the Power Up Motorsports channel. You are on the inside track of motorsports drivers and teams. PowerUpChannel.com.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Listen for The Right Turn with J.J. O'Malley. It's an insider's look at America's fastest-growing motorsports series, the Grand-Am Rolex Sports Car Series, presented by Crown Royal Cask Number 16. You'll hear about what happened last weekend and get a preview of what's coming up next. From the Rolex 24 at Daytona through Watkins Glen International, Mid-Ohio, Laguna Seca, right up to the championship at Homestead Miami Speedway. The Right Turn with J.J. O'Malley. Broadcast live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Aviation has a rich history and an even richer future. Air Power Radio is designed to promote, educate, and preserve. Segments of the program will focus on women in aviation, legends of aviation, a feature for builders and restorers, and extreme aviation, which will spotlight the so-called daredevils of the industry. Air Power Radio is hosted by Jeremy Nellis and Richard G. Smokey Young, two people who have been involved in building and flying for over a decade. Tune in Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on Power Up, your motorsports channel.
Zoom Leadership. It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal. Zoom Leadership. It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. Zoom Leadership. An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
Power up with your favorite motorsport. You're listening to PowerUpChannel.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
Hopefully you caught our 4 hours of live broadcasting from Phoenix International Raceway on Saturday. If you did miss it, shame on you. And I'm going to give you a little bit of what you missed. I had a chance to sit down with the captain, Roger Penske, on Saturday before the NASCAR Sprint Cup race.
Pleased to welcome to our special broadcast here from Phoenix International Raceway, car owner Roger Penske. And Roger, Phoenix International Raceway, you've had a lot of success here through the years, and today you've got Sam Hornish Jr. starting up there third, Kurt Busch right up there in points, and Brad Keselowski coming on pretty good.
Well, Larry, as you know, we've run a lot of races here way back when you couldn't get across the track because it was to the track because the water was over the road, so things have sure changed. We didn't really have a NASCAR race here, but I think coming into this season, you know, the teams, with Brad coming on board, certainly Sam, this is a breakout year for him, and Kurt coming off a great year in 2009 has really showed his strength. We really have run well, and I think the Dodges are, you know, performing. We've learned a lot about aerodynamics. Our engine program is better. I just think Steve Addington's brought some leadership to the team, which is certainly helpful. Jay Guy, someone that Brad wanted. And then, of course, our Nationwide boys are running well, too, with Justin and Brad. So all in all, you know, pretty good year. And, of course, we love Phoenix. It's a great market for us. We've got a lot of business out here. We've got a big automotive center where we have our racing museum out in North Scottsdale. So I always like it to do well here.
You mentioned Steve Addington coming over from the Gibbs shop. How much difference has he made? He had a different perspective, different type of race car, and the way they did things a little differently with Joe Gibbs Racing.
Well, I think that Steve is quite honestly, you know, taking a view right now that, you know, we have some pretty good cars. And he and Kurt, as they go to the tracks where Steve has had success, they maybe look at his setup, and where we've had success, they look at ours, and what they're doing is really melding the two setups together. I think that Kurt has a lot of respect for Steve because of his success. He obviously, he's worked with his brother, so I would say that he's just been, he's a common thread right now, you know, through the teams, and they work together. In fact, this morning I was over in the 12 hauler, and guess who was over there talking to Jay Guy? It was Steve Addington. So, you know, he's surely a team player, and we're excited to have him on board.
I don't think anyone should really be surprised that you're having the success here in the Sprint Cup, because if you look at the end of last season, Kurt Busch was having very solid finishes in those last few races of the season, and it kind of boded well for this year.
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that we did, Tim Sendrick, who is president of Penske Racing, and Mike Nelson, we decided that we would bring in a little more engineering support. And Tom German, you know, who has been so successful with us on the IndyCar side, really took over the engineering role last year, beginning of 2009. I think you started to see the benefit of that, plus our aero package, the aerodynamics that worked for us at Penske Cars, when we shut that down, went to Renault Formula One, and he now is with us. So he's really brought the aero detail up to, you know, where it needs to be. So good drivers. Obviously, Sam, with him really breaking out, we hope, in his third year, and with Kurt's success last year, we ended up on a high spot. And when you think about it, we were the only ones to beat the Hendrix cars. When you get down to the final there, finishing fourth, obviously fourth is not first. And I take my hat off to Rick and certainly Jimmy Johnson, who's an outstanding guy, person and a great driver. But I think we got good momentum, and, you know, our goal is to try to get to the top.
You know, you listen to the TV broadcast, and they always talk about, well, maybe the surprise is the Penske group with the Dodges. One, you're on an island by yourself as far as the Dodge family goes, but it always amazes me that they're surprised, or, well, look at how they're doing out there. They really shouldn't be, should they? I mean, if considering your history?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. We might be well-known because of our IndyCar, you know, successes. People forget we've won almost 50 NASCAR races when you go back with Rusty and the teams over time. So, you know, this isn't a new sport for us, but with the likes of Childress and with Roush and Gibbs and Hendricks, you know, you've got some teams that have really put the numbers on the board, but that's okay. I think that, you know, we'll have our day, and the most important thing is that we're consistent and that we're competitive, and I think you've seen that now at the end of last season, and certainly as we started 2010.
You mentioned Brad Keselowski, and you know, I were talking before we started this. I've known Brad for a long time and his family, and of course they're not too far from where your headquarters are back in the Detroit area, where you live and where I live. Has he surprised you coming on board with the team?
Well, I got to know Brad a year ago, and we had a conversation, and I really liked his MO. I mean, he is so into the business. He's focused. He drove a truck for his dad. He's worked on his own car. He's willing to help us go out and get sponsored. To give you an idea what kind of guy he is, we were working on Ruby Tuesday, that obviously are in the restaurant business, and he was at the Detroit airport and saw Ruby Tuesday, and he had someone take his picture there, and he sent that to the chief marketing guy to help us get the deal done. So, you know, he's not only thinking about driving a race car, he's thinking how to help us with sponsorships. So, to me, dedicated, understands the cars, a great team player, and I can tell because he's at that shop every day. A real winner for us.
Would you at some point think of going to four cars in the Cup? Because you got a pretty good kid in Justin Allgaier, who's been very strong so far in the Nationwide Series. Second year for him, and, you know, eventually he wants to step up.
Well, Justin is really coming of his own, a young man. When you see what he's been able to do, win a race, you know, at Bristol, you know, with some really top talent, you know, his competition, I think that he's got a great chance in Cup. But, you know, it's got to happen. We got to have sponsors. You know, today, you know, having a full sponsorship on four cars is difficult. But, look, right now we're focusing on, you know, finishing out this season, and then we'll see where we go.
Okay, let's turn our attention to IndyCar right now. Will Power coming out like gangbusters, wins the first two races, sitting in the pole at Barber tomorrow in Alabama, where I'm sure you'll be up there in the pit box, as always, making calls during the race. But, man, what a start to the season for this young man.
Well, when you think about it, you know, he's really won the last three races that he's run for us. You know, he won in Canada, then he had his accident, didn't run anymore, and then he won the first two, so he's an outstanding young man, you know, very dedicated. I think physical fitness is at the top of his mark, and he's got himself in great shape, and he knows how to get a car around a racetrack. Humble guy, a great team player, working well with Briscoe and Elio, and I think that he's making us better. He's pulling our guys, they're pushing him, And to me, it's going to be about execution. And, you know, we got some great competition this year. When you look at how close the grid is, it almost looks like a NASCAR grid to a certain extent. You know, that's important. And had 24 cars at the race, and you see some new names up there. But, you know, Will Power, I guess, you know, he's the guy to beat on these road circuits, and we'll see what happens, you know, at Barber, you know, on Sunday. But I think you're going to see him very competitive at Long Beach. And I told him as we go into Kansas City or Kansas that what he has to do is get a good solid run on an oval, then he'll be really ready, because that's how the guys really propel themselves into an Indy win.
Speaking of Indy, it's about a month away. Can you do it again?
Well, we're not going there to wear out our good clothes, I can tell you that.
Well, I know Elio's chomping at the bit to get a number four and join Rick Mears up there.
Well, it'll be great. And Elio knows how to run the speedway. I mean, he is so good there. And I think the guys that have had this success know how to win that race. And, you know, with Cindric being his tactician and really running the box for him, he's going to be tough. Certainly, Briscoe will be a great, had a good chance last year. And Will on a roll. So we'll see. We're going to have three good guys.
Roger, thanks much. Good luck today and good luck tomorrow.
Larry, thank you. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
That's Roger Penske from Saturday when we did our live broadcast at Phoenix International Raceway. By the way, Elio Castroneves won the IndyCar race, so they have won all three races so far this year in IndyCar going to Long Beach this week. I'd like to thank all my guests tonight that I had. I had Matt Hagan, Justin Wilson, Steve Arpin, Roger Penske. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow night, Race Reporters, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, Mike Knight has Melanie Troxell, and we will see you next week right back here Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Tell all your friends and neighbors to tune in to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
This week, time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.